Hey, and welcome to another episode of No Sacred Cows, where scripture is supreme and tradition takes a back seat. Today, our topic, and man, it's a hot topic. It's the topic of social media and how social media plays the role in that of a believer or that of a Christian. Social media is one of the most powerful platforms in our world today. It connects us. It informs us. It gives us a voice. I'm told by many a people, and I believe this to be true. A lot of folk have just Facebook or a social media platform for nothing more than sharing pictures with grandparents or with family members all over the United States. They don't have it for what other people have it for. I also believe that social media gives us a false perception of that of being caught up in people's lives. Like we won't see someone for months, and then we'll go to a funeral or we'll go to a family gathering, and we feel like we know them, but really we don't. But it also, social media tempts us to use that voice carelessly, because in that we have a voice. For Christians, we must realize that that voice matters, because every post and every share, it reflects the witness of Christ. And what we pass along online is not just content. We have to realize it's a testimony of what we believe as Christians. James 1:19 reminds us, and we'll hear this verse often through this podcast, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And if you were to make that thing reread in the way that it would be that of applicable to that of the digital age, you could read it this way. Be quick to listen, slow to post, and slow to share. So before we even dive into the dangers of reposting without making sure what we're posting is true, we need to recognize this. Social media is not neutral. It is not neutral, y'all. It can either amplify the light of Christ or it can magnify the noise of the world. In our social media platforms, what we need to realize is the things that we post, you are either pointing people to Jesus in everything you post, or you are helping give noise to that of the things of this world. I'm reminded so often when I was doing this study and getting things put together of the passage of Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now, I love Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But I'm reminded of verse 2 as well, because verse 2 goes with that. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, we as a believer, the Bible's telling us, Paul's telling us there, that it would do us well to have our minds transformed, not just Sunday, not just Sunday night, not just Wednesday night, not just for an occasional men's conference, not just for a week of revival. No, our minds need to be transformed every day and often during that day. We need God's word to be constantly changing the way that we look, the way that we talk, because we need to be looking through that of the lens of the Bible. We need to have a biblical worldview as we are approaching that of our social media and the social media platforms. And what we need to realize is this, ready? We need to realize that right now, the choice in how we use it is up to us. We have to decide that. Am I going to use this to amplify and magnify, make known the name of Jesus? Or am I going to use my platform to live, as Joel Osteen would say, my best life now? And so the topic of the day is think before you share. Think before you share. The dangers of reposting without confirming that what we're posting is true. In today's social media world, it is easier than ever to share someone else's post or article with just a tap of the finger. Isn't it crazy? It used to be that the thing that come from the tip of our tongue could never be undone. Well, you know, now the things that we do with the tips of our fingers can never be undone. You say, well, yeah, I can. I can delete it. No, you can't. The moment you make that post, the moment you send that text, the moment you send that email, you can retract it if you want to, but whoever has seen it before you've done the retracting, the damage has already been done. A friend's, it's crazy how a friend's post, a friend will post something, and because we know them or because we trust their judgment or because they're friends in our circle, then we automatically assume that it's true. without pausing to verify the facts, we just hit share. We just hit share, and just like that, we've passed it along to our entire circle of people. And some of us, let's not joke about it, man, some of us has a tons of friends on our Facebooks. Here's a side note. I think it's so funny, as we're talking about social media, as we as believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not talking about just in the church, I'm talking about people that are on the social media platforms. While they're on this social media platform, I find it strange how easily they are able to unfriend. I read somewhere where it was said this way, unfriended me on Facebook, cute, will still be stuck together forever in heaven, probably. And I thought that was strange because isn't it weird how we can get someone upset here on this earth, and it's how easily we can just unfriend them, believing that that's going to, but yet we're going to spend eternity with them in heaven. Anyway, that's a side note. But here's the problem. What if what we're reposting, what if what we're putting out there, what if it's not true? And listen, I've been guilty of that as well. I've been guilty of reposting something or sharing something that I would have to take back. Mark Twain says this, a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting it on its shoes. And simply, it means a lie spreads much faster than the truth. And what it means is people talk about lies more than they do the truth. And as I heard that quote, and I've heard that quote multiple times, I started doing a study. How early could you find where this quote would be attributed to someone? And I found where C.H. Spurgeon would have used it in one of his sermons. He would have said this in 1859. If you want truth to go around the world, you must hire an express train to pull it. But if you want a lie to go around the world, it will fly. It is like a feather. A breath will carry it. It is well said in an old proverb, a lie will go around the world while truth is pulling its boots on. And I thought, man, isn't it crazy how even as true as that statement is, that it would have been used as early as that. But hold on, that's not the earliest. They have found where as early as like 70 BC, that there would have been a writer or a poet, Virgil, if I'm saying it right. His whole name is very hard to pronounce, Publius Virgilius Maro, but his name is Virgil. And so I thought it was interesting. As early as BC, you've got this quote, because isn't it true? Man, how quick a lie can be spread. It's amazing how fast it can grow legs and it can run. When we share information without confirming it, we run the risk of spreading falsehoods. We run the risk of damaging reputations. We run the risk of fueling division and misrepresenting Christ. What we don't realize is that Ephesians chapter 4 calls for oneness. Yes, oneness within the church, that is the local church, but there ought to be oneness in the universal church as well. We shouldn't be tearing down one another in that of the sight of definitely the lost people, but just within that of our family ourselves. Yeah, we disagree. Yes, things happen. But man, we ought to be more thoughtful when it comes to that of reposting or that of sharing things, whether it be something we've reposted or just something we share, because it does magnify, it does show where it is and what it is that we believe. So I want to talk about five different things. Number one, one of them is this, the ripple effect of unverified words has a lasting impact. The ripple effect of unverified words. Words, whether spoken or typed, they have power. I'm going to say it again. Words, whether spoken or typed, they have power. Proverbs 18:21 reminds us, and I love the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is wisdom. If you, as a believer, want to grow wise in that of the counsel of the Lord, you ought to be in the Proverbs every day. A proverb a day would be very good for you. But Proverbs 18:21 reminds us, death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, it's more than the tongue. It's also the tips of the fingers now. I'll read that verse again for you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In the digital age, our tongue includes our keyboard and our share button. One click can send misinformation to hundreds or thousands of people in just seconds, y'all. False or misleading posts can destroy someone's credibility, stir up unnecessary conflict, or lead others to make decisions based on lies, even if we delete the post later. Think about this. If you're in the courtroom and you've got a witness on the stand and the witness blurts out something and you've got a jury there, immediately what takes place? Immediately the other lawyer steps up and says, strike that from, you know, I object. And so they have to strike it from the clerk's record. All right. But the moment that witness has said that out loud is the moment that the jury, they've already heard it. You can strike it from the record if you want. You can believe that they've not heard it. It ain't going to have an impact. But you and I both know that would be a foolish thing to believe. And you and I need to realize as well that, once we've posted it, all right, and we go back to delete it later, then what we need to realize is the damage is already done. Whatever damage is to be done is done. Now, it doesn't mean that forgiveness can't be offered. It doesn't mean that you and I can't seek forgiveness from others. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the damage is done. There's no taking it back. What's done is done. And so what we need to realize is that the ripple effect of unverified words, it has a big impact. Number two, the sin of bearing false witness. One of God's Ten Commandments is clear. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Exodus 20, verse 16. Bearing false witness is not limited to lying outright. It also includes repeating unverified claims as if they are fact. It's the same thing. When we repost something without checking its accuracy, we risk becoming participants in spreading false testimony. I mean, think about that. That's where you and I, we need to get to a point in our lives to where we're not so quick to just repost, share, you know, like, whatever it is that we're doing. We need to pause about and we need to think about things. We need to, I was even taught this one time, it would be better for you to sleep on it and wake up the next day before you were to respond or before you to react. It would be better for you to search for the truth of what it is that you're getting ready to share, repost, or just post. Let's just talk about post in general. Because why? Well, because once it's done, it's done. You're a participant of spreading false testimony. Proverbs 17:4 warns of this. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Listening to or sharing gossip, even in the digital form, makes us a part of the problem. It still makes us part of the problem. What it would be better for us to do is for us just to sleep on it. Just pause, walk away from it before we are to be a part of something that is damaging, that is detrimental to that of someone's character or someone's testimony. Number three, the dangers of assuming or the dangers of assumptions. Proverbs 18:13 says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. And man, I've been there, y'all. It is his folly and his shame. In other words, if we pass along information before knowing the whole story, we are acting foolishly. Now here's, let me give you this part of assuming, okay? And we'll put it in the church world. Let's say that you've got a mom or a dad, man, they're back there with a young child. Maybe it's a baby, and the baby or the young child is a little restless, and there's nothing better than to hear a restless child in church. And I'm not being facetious. I'm being serious. It means that there's life within the church. And so many times when we have the restless kid or the restless baby, we'll have someone in the church. They may look over and they may just want to see. All right, let's just go through it. Immediately, the parent that has the restless child, they automatically see the eyes that have been cut their way and they assume they don't want us here. They assume judgment is being passed upon them. They assume, and listen to me, you're like, yeah, but that, no, hang on. Until you and I pause and go to that person that looked at us and ask them, hey, I saw you glanced over. Is everything okay? Then you don't know what they were looking at you for. We automatically assume things. Now hold on, you ready? What if the person's looking over to see, number one, if you're a visitor? Well, what if you're a visitor and they just want to be able to help show you where, I don't know, a place to change a baby, or I don't know, a place to let a kid just go run a little bit if the kid needs to go run. I don't know, maybe the nursery, whatever it is. What if the person just loves kids? Man, we got tons of people in our church. They love kids, man. And they just want to look over and go, isn't that cute? Because I'll be honest, man, there's a day that I kind of miss holding a baby during church. It's good. But we automatically assume when that takes place. Here's another way that we assume. We make assumptions. In texting and emailing, I'm telling y'all, texting, it sucks. If you're trying to carry on a conversation in a text, it is not the place for that. You'd be better off to pick up the phone and make a phone call. You'd be better off to pause and wait until you could see that person face to face. Because if one of the two parties, or if both parties are aggravated with each other, it doesn't matter how you word it. It doesn't matter how many kisses you put on it. There's always going to assume that you're mad. They're always going to assume, well, look at the word they use. Look at this word. Look at that word. And what we have to realize is we have to be careful with that. We can't go assuming or believing that whatever is there is to be true, because we do not want to be acting foolishly. We might think that we are helping. We might think that by warning others or standing for truth. And listen to me, I am one that stands for truth. I believe we call a heretic a heretic. I have no problem with telling people that someone like a Stephen Furtick, he is a modalist. He is preaching heresy. The Trinity and the teaching of that of three in one, that is foundational to that of God's Word. And are you ready? I don't have a problem with that. But what we have to realize is that many times we're just standing for truth for the sake of a friend. And really, most of the time, it's only a half truth, or really, you ready? It's an outright lie. And we have to watch that, because listen, you ready? We've got it. We've got to know. It is so important for us to get both sides of the story. The Proverbs tells us of another one where there's those ones that comes and tells their story first, and you ready? And it seems right until you get the witness of two more. And then you're going, wait a minute, that's crazy. I never saw that coming. Why? Well, because you believe the voice of the one witness. That's number three, the danger of assumptions. Number four, the better way. Before sharing anything, ask yourself these three questions. You ready? Now, hey, listen to me. This is huge. This is the pause button. This is where you're learning how to pause. And I'm telling you, by the way you can tell I'm talking on this podcast, I have a hard time pausing. You have to pause. You have to ask yourself the questions. And here's some questions. Is it true? Not assuming the person that's... No, is this true? I remember when the internet was first out, was a big thing, and it was a commercial that would come on, and the commercial would say these words, well, if it's on the internet, it must be true. And I think we've really bought into that. And listen, in the day and age that we're living in today with AI, man, they can make AI do anything. I mean, I watched a video the other day that looked so real that it showed Hillary Clinton walking into the prison, and you're like, yeah, but everybody, no, you don't understand. We have to verify. Why? Well, for the sake of our testimony, for the sake of that of the testimony of others, to where we're sharing with others. Have I verified this with reliable sources? Have I made sure with other sources that this is true? I have to do that when I'm studying God's Word. We say around here at South River that we are very careful to quote anyone until they're dead, because after they're dead, they can't change their mind. Why? Because we have to make sure they're reliable sources. So the first one is this. You ready? Ask the question, is it true? Second of all, is it necessary? Will this build up or will this tear down? What I'm getting ready to post, and listen, I am telling you, we are all guilty of this. Is it necessary? What I'm getting ready to do, does it have to happen? And then third, is it loving? Does it reflect the character of Christ? Now you ready? Hang on a second. You said, Pastor Scott, you're telling me, is it loving? So you mean to tell me that Christ only operates in that of love? Well, yeah, but not the way the world paints him. I remember there was a LGBTQ parade going on in New York, I think. Maybe that's where it was at. And they said that if Jesus was here today, that he would be the grand marshal of that parade. And they have such a wrong, ungodly view of that, of who Jesus is. They only know of the Jesus, you know, for God so loved the world, you know. No, they don't realize that you're ready. When you and I speak truth and we speak it in love, sometimes it hurts. You say, well, explain that to me. Which it's a shame, all right, when we're on social media, and as we're on social media, we will affirm someone in their sin. Someone will go get married, and or someone's living out of wedlock, or not. When I say married, I'm talking about a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, and or someone is participating in some kind of God-forsaken whatever they're doing. You ready? And you know what we'll do? We'll give them a like. We'll give them a thumbs up. We'll give them a that a boy. And the sad part is all we're doing is paving their road to hell. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, 10, and 11. Verse 9, Paul lists a list of sins there. And what he tells us there is he tells us that anyone that is participating, anyone that is living in these sins, these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says in verse 11, and such were some of you. That means there's change in that of our lives. There's change in a believer's life. A believer cannot continue to live living in habitual sin and be a believer. I do not find that in God's word. I don't find that. You can even go to Galatians chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 16 that we're to walk in the Spirit, and we're to and if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And then Paul lists a list of sins, which is not all encompassing. He leaves it open so that no one can go, well, I'm not doing none of those. And what he says is that those that live this way habitually, those people will not. They do not inherit the kingdom of God. But yet, on our social media platforms, we will affirm that stuff. And by affirming it, what we're doing is we're not being loving. I promise you, you affirming someone on their path to hell is not loving. What you're doing is you're being a vessel, or you're being used by that of Satan. And you say, well, that's kind of strong. Well, no, because if Christ was here, Christ would share the message of hope with love. All right. The Bible tells me in the book of Peter, he says, listen, give an answer for the hope that is in you with what? With love and meekness. We need to be about that. So does it reflect the character of Christ? So let's go back through those. The better way. Before sharing anything, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it loving? And sometimes the most Christ-like thing that we can do is say nothing at all. Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent, wise. Silence can be a powerful way to prevent harm. And as I read that, I'm reminded, I don't know if any of y'all watch Blue Bloods, but I enjoy watching Blue Bloods. And I, as you get them around that table, and we call it a Blue Blood dinner. But as they gather around the table, you've always got the sister and the brothers, and they're back and forth and they're arguing. And you always see at the other end of the table, you've got a Tom Selleck. He's just sitting there. And the dad, he's just sitting there, and you'll see him squeeze his lips together, almost like he's just, you know, he's being wise. He's restraining his lips. And then what happens is as they're done, he'll then speak up. And as he speaks up, he's speaking up, and he speaks words of wisdom. Now, I know that's a TV show. I can tell you another would be a man by the name of Jim Hamby. He's a pastor friend of mine. He's someone that I look up to. And I would tell you that he's a man that I've sat down with multiple times. And he is, listen, you ready? Let's go back to that James 1:19. He would be one that is quick to hear and slow to speak. We need to be that. But listen, not just in that of our face-to-face conversations, we need to be that way on social media as well. So we have the ripple effect of unverified words. We have the sin of bearing false witness. We have the danger of assumptions, of assuming about things. The better way was ask those questions. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it loving? But then the last one is, and we need to be so focused on this, our witness matters. Your witness matters to your friends. What you do on social media is a reflection. And when you and I go and try to share the good news of Jesus Christ, what we end up doing is we end up getting that thrown back in our face. The whatever it is that we're posting that is not magnifying the name of God. The world is watching how Christians behave online. Here is what I'm going to tell you. If you cannot restrain yourself, you should cut your social media off. If you cannot pause, if you cannot keep from sharing whatever it is that your buddy shares or whatever it is that you think might be true, that is not, listen to this, that is not true, okay, that you've not verified to be true, or and both, that is not true to God's word. As a Christian, our social media platform should reflect, listen, should reflect those things that are taught from that of God's word. Remember, here at No Sacred Cows, this is where Scripture is supreme. I don't care how you feel. You can feel however you want to feel. Feelings will send us to hell. We need to operate on what we know. And what we know to be true is God's word. So when we see someone post something and they tell us that we ought to do X, Y, or Z, before we go and say, yep, I believe in that, we should go run that through the filter of God's word. When we spread unverified information, we not only risk harming others, we also damage our own credibility as followers of Christ. We damage our own credibility as followers of Christ. Paul urges us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Hear that again. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Here's a good place to put what I'm going to say. I find it odd how people can say so many things. They can type so many hurtful things. They can post so many mighty, most bold things. But yet when it comes to a face-to-face confrontation, you can't have a conversation. Don't be that. Don't hide behind a keyboard. Don't hide behind. No, listen to me. What if all that goes away? We still have our voice. We need to be using our voice to proclaim the good news. We need to be using our voice, guiding others to the truths of God's word. When we see or we hear someone that is going this path, and we know that it's an ungodly path, we should be the one that comes to them in love and says, hey, do you know what God's word says? But listen, in order for you to do that, you need to know what God's word says. So therefore, you need to be a student of God's word. I would challenge you right now, go and look at how many hours you spend on social media or whatever it is that you use your phone for, and compare that to the amount of time that you spend in God's word. And I would tell you, that's why you can't be a bold witness. That's why you can't be a bold witness on your platform. That's why you are not doing what you ought to be doing, because you are not founded and grounded in the truths of God's word. If we want the world to believe us when we share the gospel, we must also be people who are careful with every other thing we share. If we're going to share scripture on Monday and then we're going to share a half-truth, or we're going to share something that's a lie, or we're going to share something that's not been verified to be completely true, then what we're doing is we're hurting ourselves. We have to be careful, because all of it matters. Not listen, all of it matters. I think there's such a disconnect, and I say this, I think, and that is that people think that they can live one way on Sunday, they can live another way on Monday. It's almost like a light switch. They come into church, the ones that claim to be believers, they say, Kumbaya, my Lord. They think God is so awesome. Even they'll take the Lord's Supper with great boldness. And then Monday, they live like hell. That is not a believer's life. You are living a lie. And you should really check into that of your salvation. And the way you do that is not by going and flipping to the front of your Bible. The way that you do that is not by going and asking someone if they think you're a believer. The way you do that is open God's Word and let God's Word be what tells you whether or not you are bearing the fruit of Jesus Christ or if you're bearing the fruit of that of Satan. That is the proper way. Let God's Word tell you that. Let God's Word be the filter that we use when we're on social media platforms. Our final thought. Social media can be a powerful tool for good, and I believe it is. You'll find often here recently, hey, what are we up to? I have lots of church members. They can't go as often as we go on our mission trips, and so or our mission outreach, whatever we may be doing. But man, they're praying for us. They're so gracious and they're giving. And so, you know what, man? I want to try to get on there. I want to try to share. I want to try to just give them up to date. I want to be able to see what we're doing, where we're at. That is a powerful tool, man. That's amazing. But it can also be a weapon of destruction. It can be a weapon of destruction if we use it carelessly. We must be careful. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be slow to speak. James 1:19 says, quick to listen and diligent in seeking truth. Before you repost, before I repost something, we ought to do this thing. Pause and ask, am I helping spread light or am I unintentionally spreading darkness? We should pause and ask. Am I helping spread the light or am I unintentionally spreading darkness? It's left with you. You're the one that controls what you're doing. We live in a victim culture and everybody wants to blame everybody else for what's going on within their lives. Here, this is on you. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we ought to be very aware of what we say, what we do. We ought to be very aware of what we click and what we type and what we share. Everything ought to be filtered through that of God's Word. Everything ought to be, listen, sleep on it. I'm telling you, I've had to do that. I have slept on things. I have typed it completely out. I have made a post ready to post. I go to bed, I wake up the next morning and I go, you know what, it ain't worth it. I just delete it. It's not worth it. What good is it going to do? But now you're ready. There's other times it's very well worth it. I think that me as a shepherd, an under shepherd, someone that is pastoring or helping pastor that of a flock, that we ought to warn our people. The Bible says in Ezekiel 33 that I'm a watchman, and as a watchman, I'll blow the trumpet. I'm going to blow the trumpet. I'm going to blow it, and I'm going to blow it loud. I'm going to warn the people. I don't want their blood to be on my hands. But you know what? It's going to be filtered through God's Word. And so I encourage you, ask those questions. Pause. Think about it. Think before you share. Because listen, once it's posted, the damage is done. I pray that you have a great day. I hope that you've enjoyed this podcast here on No Sacred Cows. I'd encourage you that if you would like for us to discuss other things, you can always reach out to us here at South River Baptist Church. My email address is scott@southriverbaptist.com. You're always welcome to send us whatever you'd like to send us, topics that you would like to see discussed. Again, remember, here at No Sacred Cows, we are here to discuss and remind everyone that Scripture is supreme and tradition takes a back seat. Have a blessed day.